All right, in theory, we're live.
Woohoo! Woo.
All right, welcome to Pack Tactics Season 2, Episode 28. This is a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign, and all the players are playing kobolds because kobolds are awesome. So,
wait,
tonight,
is this really Episode 28 of Season 2?
This is.
Wow.
Yes. This game is more regular than what we've previously referred to as the main campaign.
Yeah.
It gets all of its fiber.
Star Trek only gets,
oh no.
Star Trek only gets 24 episodes. Suck it, Paramount.
We also have more cliffhangers.
That's true.
Yes. And no one said fire as the last word for season one. So
fire.
And then we all had to sit and wait all summer long to find out if Picard was coming back. Never mind. So, tonight I am joined by a bunch of awesome people whom you may have already heard, including Ellie, Io, Jen, and Cindy. So, as I've been doing of late, I'm going to sit back and just ask, what did you do last week?
Well, we started off by leaving the desert town in a deal with one of the big bads to get Barnes' skeletal brother his freedom back.
Basically, we made friends with another undead spellcaster.
Yep.
Yeah, we did. Wow. Yeah.
And then we scared the unlife out of him when we teleported to a temple of Bahamut.
And I put him in a bag of holding.
Yep.
Shortly afterwards, we had a dinner party with an entire clan of kobolds.
Oh, yeah. We went to Fennec Sr.'s house, where a clan of kobolds was rebuilding his house. And we had a dinner party with them.
Mm-hmm. And then we became Kobold Osha. None of us are named Osha, and that's somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And Zeely made a very inspiring speech.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the way, Fenix tried to get his feelings about us into the air. It's like, I'm not mad, but I am very mad. But I'm trying to be less mad.
Yeah.
He's not mad. He's disappointed.
He's disappointed. And then Gox asked him about what if it was, what if this was all Bahamut's plan, and that didn't make Fenix Sr. very happy either. So, yep.
Oh, no, he was okay with that. He's done a lot of soul-searching. But a certain kobold sorceress who may or may not have had a lot of trauma mentioned something about having a crisis of faith if this was, in fact, all of Bahamut's plan.
Yeah, if Bahamut planned for the part of this that involved her, then she needs to have another crisis of faith because, well, if Bahamut planned for her to dimension door into an ancient green dragon's mouth and have the first crisis of faith.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That raises some questions about free will.
I have a sneaking suspicion that the only being that was planning for Zeely to enter an ancient green dragon's mouth was in fact Zeely. The ancient green dragon did have plans for Zeely. They didn't involve chomping down.
Quite yet.
Yeah. She was kind of taken aback by, why is there a small kobold on my tongue? I can't cast spells now. What if I exhale very strongly with my breath weapon? No, she's still there. Minions, bring me my floss. Minions, stop dancing. I hate that dance. I've told you I hate that dance. And a big hello to Banjo Fox in the chat, who has no idea what's going on now.
All right. Use a giant napkin to dab at my mouth. No, that's not what I meant either.
Darlene has inspiration. And this is probably the only time I have or ever will give inspiration for someone mentioning the dab. But never mind about that. All right. So you pretty much ended last session doing a resource management kobold construction simulator.
Work, work.
Pretty much.
Not that kind of kobold.
Except when you yell out Dabu, one of them turns and says, "What?" And it, if you say Zug Zug, three of them turn and say, "Which one?" There's also Daryl, and he has a brother named Daryl. And he has another brother named Daryl.
This must be a huge clan.
Well, it's D-A-R-Y-L, D-A-R-R-Y-L, and D-A-R-R-E-L-L.
And then you get into the clones where they just keep adding U's in the middle of the name.
Don't forget D-A-R-O-L.
I think we've hit a record for the shortest amount of time before these sessions go off the rails.
Yeah, it could be true.
And I'm okay with this. So is this something that you intend to do for more than one day? Are you going to stick around until the house is built or until the DM intervenes? Or are you just going to try to whip them into shape and then go home and relax or something?
Do we have anything else to do?
We have to track down like 18 other undead people.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Do we have any actual leads on them?
Hmm.
No.
I vote we go to Neolith Academy.
If parties keep going to Neolith Academy, I'm going to have to create a map for it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the beauty of Neolith Academy is that you can have dozens of visits, none of which will involve the same set of floors.
This is true. And there's more than one elevator, so I can just picture like the main campaign going down one elevator while everyone else is going up a different elevator.
Yep.
Meanwhile, a certain quickling is running up the stairs. Mm-hmm. And yes, Banjo Fox, mystic elevators. Neolith Academy is state-of-the-art science and technology that may or may not have almost gone to the Nine Hells in a recent session.
Almost. You know. I mean, I'm pretty sure I opened the door and, well, actually, that was Bryn. This is Zeely. Right now I'm Zeely and not Bryn. Zeely does not know anything about any portals to the Nine Hells and cannot even cast Plane Shift, I think.
Yet. Anytime a statement is made like that, I feel like we need to add yet to the end of it, especially when referring to Zeely.
Well, I could take Plane Shift.
There you go.
The thing is, Zeely doesn't go to the Nine Hells. Zeely makes the Nine Hells be here, but by virtue of throwing fire all over.
Zeely would just be depressed in the Nine Hells because being the responsible pyromaniac where everything is immune to fire, all of that hard work to be responsible and to only burn the things you want to burn, well, people just set everything on fire willy-nilly in the Nine Hells. Nothing happens.
See, where Zeely really wants to go, plane of gasoline.
No. I want to go to the plane of gasoline.
The plane of dry timber, then?
I prefer to avoid creating a second plane of fire.
The plane of random detritus and oily rags.
Well, if it's still
because
like
I think there's already a plane of fire. I don't think we need another one.
Beware.
This would be plane of fire adjacent.
Elementals. Oh, well, they won't be hydrogen elementals for long, I'm afraid.
Now they're helium elementals. Go figure. Okay, so the consensus is you're not going to stick around for the house to be finished. You're going to go off somewhere else?
Yeah.
That seems to be where we're leaning, but I don't think any of us has an idea besides Ellie's Neolith Academy, which I think we're banned from.
Yeah,
well,
that was the library, right? Yeah.
You did leave under rather expedient circumstances.
I don't have any good ideas or good leads.
We could go back to Meepo's house to regroup and make sure the old clan is doing okay.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
And definitely not be blamed for any mishaps that might happen around here.
By that, by the way, that voice came from Galax.
Huh.
Sorry.
Are you okay, Galax?
Oh, Galax isn't here right now, but if you leave a message, he will get back to you as soon as possible.
So who are we talking to?
Oh no, we're talking to Deucalion.
Yes, I'm so glad you recognized the voice.
You sound just like some guy I know named Sanctimonious.
That's a totally different voice.
it's quite different.
It's canon. Sanctimonious does know Daldane. He has the card, I think.
I think.
Actually, so. No, I don't think Sanctimonious has that card.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, maybe he did. Silly. He did. It was in his pocket, but he was mind controlled at the time that he got it. He has very vague memories.
Okay. I was just being silly.
Even when I'm being silly, I'm being serious. Banjo Fox, quiet you. Yes, those voices are completely different. One of them is higher pitch with a really atrocious British accent, and the other one is more of a...
It's only in your head.
No, that's a different voice. That's Kevin.
Or Daldane.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but...
Daldane is sometimes in people's heads.
She is literally that thing that you hear before you die.
Wow, that's an ominous title.
Yes.
In any case, sorry to intrude, but I will be visiting you very soon. Thought I would warn you.
You're coming here?
Well,
let's
yes.
Find somewhere to be that's not Fennec's house.
My ability to dominate one of my former minions does have a limited range. If you were back at Coomeridge, I would not be able to do this.
Oh, okay.
Which makes for a pretty good situation, as otherwise I would not be able to warn you.
Oh, okay. Yes. So that does sound serious.
Yes. You see, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Well, you may recall I was quite miffed about the 20 coming in, deciding that they could order me around.
Yeah.
Well, they have a magical item that pretty much allows them to order dragons around. They prefer to not use it if they can otherwise coerce one of my brethren, and that's worked out pretty well for them. But then they met me, and through me, they met you, which is why we're having this conversation. I thought I had procured this item from the member of the 20 that young Zeely here incinerated more than once. Unfortunately, it was a decoy, and they're using the real one on me right now.
I vote we get this item and promise not to use it on Michaela.
That would be great. You'll have to go to Coomeridge. They weren't quite sure where you were, so they thought of every location that you've been recently, did some scrying to discover those things, and they've pretty much decided to divide and conquer.
Oh no, we have to go protect the clan.
Yes, but which clan? You see, they're not calling off any one particular raid. I will be coming to this town you're in. I will kill every living thing in it. I have been ordered to. Fortunately, I was given no orders in any way, shape, or form as to whether or not I could communicate with one of my minions.
Oh, so we need to, move everybody out of town real fast.
This strip is what the scrying might be on.
Or we need to head him off before he gets here.
Well, he said the item that's compelling him to obey is a near Coonridge. Which is that one of the other places that under attack right now?
Coomeridge is near where we left our old clan behind.
Yeah.
So
the entire valley, that that particular area is called Coomeridge Valley. So the farm is close to the center-ish of it. Not really the center, but it's in the middle of it. Fiddlepunch's Tower is in Coomeridge. Coomeridge Keep is in Coomeridge, obviously. There's a lot of locations that they might be sending people to in Coomeridge, actually. That's a hot spot.
Right. So, Gox, you remember when you went to Shadowfell?
Uh-huh.
And it was a whole bunch of farms that had, dead people in them?
Yeah.
They're going to turn Coomeridge into that if we don't hurry.
Well, are the kobolds here going to be safe? Are they attacking the hare, too?
Well, here's my thought. If we can get to Coomeridge, get whatever items they get whatever artifact they're using to command dragons, and maybe just call off the last command or command the attack off and don't use it after that, then we can save this place and Coomeridge at the same time. Not necessarily the easiest sell, and we should probably ask Fenix to do what he can to evacuate or board this place up, but that's the only option I'm seeing to save both places.
Okay, let's give it a try.
Or we could split up.
Yes, I've been told splitting the party never goes poorly. Divide and conquer, I believe it's called.
Look, you really sound like Sanctimonious.
If I remember correctly, in the Saturday game, Sanctimonious was saying something similar, but without the sarcasm.
Right. I am deliberately not picking up on the sarcasm. So, I don't know why, but I'm imagining Daldane and the crew rolling into Coomeridge, like...
I love that this is an audio format.
Can I ask an out-of-character question real quick?
You most certainly can,
and may. Is there a teleportation circle in Coomeridge?
There's a few, actually. The lord that controls Coomeridge is a max level wizard, so he's got his own personal teleportation circle. Aristobulus Ravenscroft, who was in the first season campaign, who you as a party know, you adventured with him for a while, he's got a teleportation circle in his home, and Fiddle Punch has one as well. He's actually got more than one. One of them is more mechanical than the other one. One of them is Zeely compatible.
I do not have enough spell slots for this.
Neither did I. That was kind of the problem.
Well, you didn't have a barbarian, and we do, so maybe we'll do better.
Oh, but I do have a barbarian, and a bard, and a sorcerer, and a cleric.
Oh.
I don't have any doubts about what will happen to me if you stay here to fight me. You are a very powerful group. I did my research well. There is a reason why I was quite happy to see you in my lair to help me assist gaining my freedom. Unfortunately, my plan did not work out as well as I intended, but I'd rather be dead. Real dead, not just the undead that I currently am, than allow this to continue. And considering that now they are seeking you, I have a feeling that I will get that vengeance, whether or not I'm around to see it.
Okay, I don't entirely understand, but...
If you stay here, you're going to kill me, because I will not stop until you do. But you're also going after the 20, because they serve Tiamat. So, you will end up killing the ones that are responsible for my death, and I'm okay with that.
Oh, I have an idea.
I will not get in your bag of holding.
Yet. Daldane, how many times per day can you cast polymorph?
Ellie?
Do you mean to be muted?
No, I didn't mean to be muted. I hit the wrong button when I was bringing up preference.
Oh, no.
Have we had a long rest? I can't remember.
I think so.
I will be a benevolent DM and say that, yes, you've had a long rest since last week.
I actually meant, have we had a long rest, like, well, since we had that combat in the palace?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, we had a dinner party with the kobolds. Yeah.
I hadn't clicked any of my buttons.
But I am going to canonically say that you also had a long rest after the events from last week. Because you blew a few high-level spells last week as well.
Right. 4.
Okay, so we're all good?
And I think we have the same ideas.
Well, it's probably best if I don't know your strategies, because it'll make it a bit easier for me to defeat you, and that doesn't play into my long game. So I'll be giving Galax back to you now. You might want to find a rock for him to hide under.
Right, then.
Wait, before you go.
Before I go where?
Under the rock.
Okay.
We just said you should probably hide under a rock.
Okay, I'll go look for a rock then.
Galax wanders off, looking down at the ground and muttering.
He's probably going to need a bigger rock than he's going to find right away.
So what do you have in mind, Zeely?
All right, so I can't teleport an unwilling entity, but I can.
How many people can you teleport?
8. And I can't teleport enough people quickly enough to evacuate this place. But.
No, I think
if you polymorph him into something small.
Yes, we have the same idea. All right, I'm going to get that spell gem out and get it ready.
Of course, we might need to try it a few times. Dragons being dragons.
Oh, no. I think we can convince him to follow. So, we're waiting for Deucalion to show up.
Okay. Are you going to make any preparations for Deucalion to show up, or just going to stand around outside the not quite yet reconstructed house that will probably be destroyed in the ensuing conflict?
No, I'm planning to move off to a place where I have plenty of room around us and not a whole lot of people.
Wait, I have a better idea, Daldane. When you cast Magnificent Mansion,
I can't make it come out somewhere else.
Even if you cast it again somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But if you put all the kobolds in it, would they be safe in there?
Evacuate everyone in.
We're going to be okay.
I mean, the kobolds are all on the list to go in anyway, right? So
the list gets revised each time you cast it. But I assume that at this point, Daldane would not be telling anyone, sorry, no, you're going to have to stay out here. I have it under authority. That you do, in fact, owe Varn 5 gold.
Yeah.
No, because he's coming for us. So I want to get us at least a quarter mile away from the house.
Well, his exact words were, because he was ordered to and compelled by magic, is that he would come here.
He's going to come here and kill everyone.
Yes.
So put everybody in the...
I didn't hear the crosstalk.
His orders are to come here and kill everyone. He's not specifically compelled to kill us, but everyone in the city.
Oh.
Which is why my strategy involved trying to get what's compelling him and erase that compulsion or possibly even order him off.
Oh, absolutely.
Then that means we need to head to the valley.
If his orders are to come here and kill everyone and not specifically us, then yes, that changes things substantially. I missed that part. I apologize.
So if we put the kobolds into the mansion, maybe they'll be safe. And we got to tell Fennec Senior that, you know, what's going to happen. He's not going to like that either.
I can make 500 cubic feet of space. So that's 70 by 70 by 10, which is probably enough for a whole bunch of kobolds plus Fennec Senior.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Fennec Senior's going to like it in there very much, but at least there'll be food.
Knowing Fennec Sr., he's probably going to be involved in trying to set up defenses for the rest of the town.
At this point, Fennec Sr. approaches your party and says, Dragonborn don't have ears, but if I did, they'd be burning. What are you discussing?
We're trying to figure out how to save people from multiple attacks happening at concurrent occasions when I can only cast teleport twice.
Is this an academic concern or one with practical purposes?
Nope.
Someone's one with immediate here. Purposes.
What are we looking at? Don't you dare say a dragonborn.
No.
A dragon.
A dragon. An undead dragon.
A very old and powerful one.
Is it bringing allies?
No, I think the allies are going somewhere else, and that's where we need to get to. But we gotta.
Also, we need to. His allies are going to Coomeridge. Also. He actually is nominally allied with us and is being mind controlled.
So he kind of warned us about this. Well, he could. Yeah. So we're thinking if we can put all the kobolds into the mansion.
Yes.
And you can go with if you want, but I don't know if you want to save the city because I don't know how big a battle this is going to be.
Well, Fenix, this estate is an estate. It's not, we're not in a town.
It's on the outskirts of the town. From the front door, you can see other houses. So at this point, Fennec Sr. looks around and says, he's coming specifically here.
Yes, to kill everyone here.
Well, then fleeing won't help.
Then I'm going to start casting the Magnificent Mansion.
Right. I don't suppose there's a particular kobold that's very good at running. Five different kobolds go, yo!
It's kind of what we do. That and die. Oh, yeah, we're really good at dying.
Well, we're not going to ask you to do that today.
Fenix Sr. pulls out some paper and scrawls a note on it very quickly, hands it to one of the kobolds and says, take this to the guard at the front door of the temple.
Is that wise?
When they read it, they will thank you for it.
Yeah, they've seen kobolds before. They've seen us, so...
Yeah, that's why I asked if it was wise.
Well, you run really fast, so you'll be fine. They're just going to stare at you for a while. They don't seem to be violent.
I'm going to hand him a Daldane card and get him on his way.
Right.
All right, everybody who's not running, get inside the mansion.
Okay. And don't come out until we come back.
They form a nice orderly... Oh, who am I kidding? No, it's a pretty much... everyone tries to go through the door at once. Does not work
it's
as...
It's a flood.
More of a dam.
Yeah. So I've made it a fan shape so that nobody can get stuck coming in or out.
Challenge accepted by a clan of kobolds.
Oh.
Yeah, but kobolds will climb over each other.
Yeah.
Yes. They've managed to do that. So they're stuck on multiple levels.
All right. Gox is going to go over there and try like clearing a path.
Okay, give me, but how are you going to try to clear the path? By giving orders or by physically moving kobolds?
I'm going to go close to the door where the mass of kobolds is and yell, hey, one at a time. And try
give
to
me an intimidation check.
I've rolled an 18 and intimidation is a plus zero.
You should allow him to use strength for intimidation.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing sometimes.
Sometimes? Well, I wasn't lifting anything this time.
Well, so. I was seriously considering letting you use your strength bonus, but whether or not we do, an 18 is sufficient. So you managed to convince them to back up, and some of the ones that are stuck are pulled free in one direction or another, or a few of them in both directions, which doesn't work as well as they thought it would originally. And they managed to, at this point... in a more orderly fashion, get their way in.
All right. I say we head to Coomeridge and try to grab that item as soon as possible. The sooner we grab it, the less damage this town goes through.
Yep.
I don't want Deucalion hanging out here until the kobolds are forcibly expelled at the end of the 24 hours.
He won't be.
Ah, I take your meaning. Let's get going.
Okay.
Wait, sorry, what just happened?
Please do your best to subdue him and not kill him.
I make no promises.
Well, it's okay if you kill him. We're probably going to kill him eventually anyway.
Yeah. I understand, but he's not a friend, but he's been decent to us.
He's also a useful source of information for other baddies.
I've been hanging around kobolds long enough to understand the word frenemy.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a
we
good
appreciate
point.
Your understanding. Zeely, let's get going.
All right. Fenix, good luck. I hope it goes well here, and we'll be back soon.
He's already drawn his sword. He uses it to salute you.
Excellent.
All right, I can get us back. Let's try to be quick. Form around.
Okay.
And
Varn
I cast...
hesitates.
Varn, you can go into the mansion if you want. This is going to be a big battle.
I know. That's kind of why I want to stay here.
Yeah, go into the mansion. You'll be safe.
No, I get it. Hey, Galix, you can come out and go in the mansion or stay here with your brother.
Galix and Varn look at each other for a moment. They just nod at each other simultaneously and both stand in flanking formation with Fenix.
I thought that was going to be how it was. Good luck.
All right. Zeely
hands Varn her crossbow. Pulls it out of her bag of holding and here.
Oh, wow! Where do you put the scorpion?
On the end of the arrow.
Oh, wait. Before we go...
Don't we have a whole bunch of healing potions?
Oh, I think so. let's see.
To be fair, against a Dracolich, there's a pretty good chance that Varn and or Galax would be one-shotted.
That's true. We have three greater healing potions, or at least Gox does.
I don't have any, but If I'm supposed to, they can have all.
Oh, wait. I've also got 8 regular potions of healing for some reason.
Because you did a supply buying binge before right. you went to the Sunken Temple.
Yeah.
And everyone who had healing spells available to them was like, I don't need these.
So I have a bunch.
Well, my thought process was I'm probably going to use my spells first. So if I'm unconscious, so if I'm in need of healing, I'm probably already unconscious and need someone else to feed me the potion.
And it'd help for them to have it in their inventory if they're going to have to do that.
Exactly.
Instead of rifling through yours. Yeah.
But that's why the barbarian has 8 and everyone who can cast healing spells doesn't have any.
Yeah, he's got 8 regular ones and 3 bigger ones or greater ones or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How far are we from the temple that has the teleportation circle in it and such?
If you're... Nahan, you don't need the teleportation circle to leave. You just...
I know. I need to know for another reason.
Oh, it's taken a few hours usually, but you are walking at a leisurely pace. If you are, every time I open my mouth, at least I think. if you are, if you're walking at a more D&D, you're in combat and taking the dash action, it's going to be a little iffy for a little while for Fenix to last, but he's a high level paladin. He might be able to do it pretty well before reinforcements show up.
Can you give Galax temporary hit points since he's a skeleton?
I think so.
It
doesn't say I can't.
The DM will make a house rule on that and not tell you what happens.
Okay. Well, Gox, Marwai, Zili, Fennec, Varn, and maybe Galax have 17 temporary.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so we're running to the temple?
No. I just...
Were you planning a return trip?
I don't feel right leaving everyone here, and I can only cast teleport twice.
It's a tough call to make, and blame your DM for having to make it.
Hmm.
Oh, I can't believe it. Look,
you're wasting time. Your friends in Krumridge need you. They're my friends, too. I lived there for 10 years. Win the battle there. We'll win the battle here. Go.
Okay, so Gox salutes him back, as he did before, and is ready to go.
Let's get the show on the road.
All right. Form up.
Okay.
All right.
Where are you going?
Which teleportation circle is most inside Krumridge?
Well, there's one in Krumridge Keep, but that one is mostly used for personal use by the Lord there. So you know it's there, but you don't know much about it. The one you've used most often is in Fiddlepunch's Tower. That's still a bit of a hike, but at the base of the mountain where the tower is located, there is a kobold settlement there that you kind of helped create for Tim to hide out in, and kobolds just sort of went there because reasons. There is not a teleportation circle, unfortunately, in the farm, which is bad because that would be great, but no one made one for there. And that is... There's also the one in Aristobulus's home. That one is closer to the farm than Fiddlepunch's tower, but less likely to be a target by the attackers. So, and I'm not requiring any kind of intelligence or wisdom check for this. This is something that would occur to you. If you are wrong about them going to the farm, you've wasted a lot of time from traveling. If you are... They might be going after Fiddlepunch's tower, and if so, going there means you will be protecting someone. And also, Fiddlepunch has ways to get around.
Right. Tower it is. I cast teleport.
Okay. Roll for initiative.
Okay. I've rolled a 4. Plus 2. I have a 6. That's not good for a barbarian, but yeah.
Oh, no.
17 for Dalbeck. That looks like a 2 for Zili.
Because I rolled a 1.
And 17.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we have not been playing for an hour yet, but we are about to enter combat as soon as this teleportation spell finishes. So I suggest that we take a stretch break right now.
Yeah, let's take a break.
It's a good idea.
Okay. It is 9:28. We'll be gone for a few minutes, and then we'll come back and kill all the things. Or prevent all the things from being killed. It really depends on what side you're on. All right. See you in a bit.
Get to the mixer.
All right. We are back. We've already rolled for initiative. And during the break, I rolled for everyone else.
That's all he did during the break.
There's yes, unfortunately. You will be fighting an army. I rolled initiative for every participant in the army. Some of them have pets. I rolled for them. several of them have bags of tricks. They will be using their actions to pull animals out. Those animals will also have their own initiative order. The DM might have
here for 4 days.
Yeah. We'll get past the first round in 3 weeks.
We are determined to turn this into Warhammer again.
The DM might have had ulterior motives for having all of the NPCs stay behind.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's fair.
Yes, because you are going up against a strike force, not a single being.
Yeah.
It would have been.
I'm going to get to cast Fireball.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Possibly.
So what do we see?
So what you see is you are in the room that Fiddle Punch uses to maintain his teleportation circle. Because he rebuilt the tower, he built it towards his specifications. This particular room is on a floor that has other things, but it's really just here for the teleportation circle. So it's only a few feet wider than the circle itself, maybe 20 feet across, if that.
Okay.
And you are not alone in the room. The DM has to press a button. Because, and I will continue to complain about this, the encounter builder in D&D Beyond is very nice. I like the encounter builder. I use it. But anything that in the monster manual that's a link that you click on it and you see various abilities and the stats that it can do isn't a link in the encounter builder. So you still have to go outside of the encounter builder to do this stuff. Yes. So the very first thing that happens is everyone in the party is going to have to make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. Oh. Yeah.
Target is 17.
I've got a 16 and dexterity is plus 2.
I managed a 19. Cool.
It's a 17 for me.
Aha! I actually made it. 19.
So everyone made it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Fabulous. You are all going to take 10 points of damage.
What kind of damage?
Radiant.
Really?
A guardian of faith is summoned right in the middle of the party.
10 damage.
Okay. 10 damage.
Yes. Daldane.
Yeah, remember, we have that 17 temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you got 7 temporary.
Guardian of whose faith?
Considering the draconic appearance of the Guardian of Faith, you've got a guess.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Technically, I could probably say it's necrotic damage because Tiamat, evil, but Guardian of Faith is Guardian of Faith. All right.
Okay.
Daldane and Marwise, you are going at the same time.
What do we actually see? Who's in the room with us?
You see 4 beings. One of them looks like the spellcaster who tried to bite Zili before. But the other 3, you don't recognize. 2 of them are wearing plate mail armor. And 2 of them are in robes.
Are any of them engaged with each other?
Well, they were for a while, but they broke it off. They were citing some irreconcilable differences. They did try therapy for a while. But a couple of therapists didn't manage to solve it.
Okay. So everybody present is occupying the teleportation circle.
They're all at the edges of the circle. They are equidistant from each other, so that if you're going to do an AoE to hit all of them, you're going to hit yourselves too.
And one of them looks like the spellcaster who tried to bite back in the palace.
The one that Zili beheaded and then escaped.
Okay. Well, all or nothing. Power word stun at that one.
All right. What do I have to roll?
You don't. Does he have 150 hit points?
Let me look it up. Huh. He's stunned.
He's stunned. He makes a constitution saving throw at the end of each of its turns.
Well, he's going to have to wait to do that, because it's not his turn.
Yes. And bardic inspiration on Marwai. That's a d12 you can add to any ability check, attack roll.
All right. Cool. So, you said two of them are wearing plate mail. Is it possible for me to place a blade barrier in a way that puts those two on the other side of the barrier, but leaves the two with the not plate mail, like the two, I'm guessing, are spellcasters, on the same side as this kobolds?
Yes. You're going
to
have to argue.
So, one of the ones, I'm going to use cardinal directions, although it doesn't really matter. One with plate mail is to the east, one with plate mail is to the west.
Oh.
They might have been planning on you showing up.
Can I place the blade barrier so it goes through all four of them, and they'll be forced to at least move or take damage?
They are arranged in the cardinal directions. If you're going to put a blade barrier going through all four of them...
It's going to have to be a circle.
Yeah,
that is its default shape, actually. It's or a ranged wall up to 60 feet in diameter. So, do they fit a circle that's 60 feet in diameter?
Well, that's...
60 feet in diameter would form the blade barrier outside of this room. If you're able to make it smaller than that, you can put it between you and all of your opponents.
Or through all of your...
Except for the Guardian of Faith, which is still right on top of you, and is going to continue to try to turn you into what comes out of a chipper shredder.
And power word stun. That spellcaster is going to take at least one turn's worth of damage from the wall of blade.
Oh, well, it depends. If you put the wall blades up to be a barrier to between you and your opponents, they're not going to take any damage. If you put it up so that they are going to have to come closer to you to get out of it, they will definitely take damage.
I think that's the one we should do. That's the one you should do.
So I don't think I can make it smaller than 60 feet, though. So I can cut off a couple of them from us, probably.
The DM's going to say you can arrange this blade barrier how you want. I already let you make it into a ceiling.
That's true.
All right. So, yeah, in that case, I'm going to try to make it a circle that's just in front of them so that they'll have to move if they want to move into us to attack us.
Okay. It's a ringed wall up to 60 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
You're right. I missed that two part while I was just scanning for numbers. Thank you.
Okay. That's your action. Do you have a bonus action you'd care to use?
Yes, just need to figure out what level I want to cast Holy Weapon at on this instance. Or not Holy Weapon, Spiritual Weapon. Actually, no, wait, maybe Holy Weapon. Can I get to Gox and enchant his axe real quick?
His axe is already plus one.
Already, yeah, it's a plus one.
Oh, yeah, and Holy Weapon's concentration. So, yeah, just going to stick with Spiritual Weapon and just have to decide which level I want it at. Let's go with fourth. I'm going to attack the same one that Daldane stunned. So, I rolled a nat 1 for a total of 10. So,
you have
I'm guessing that's a no.
You have done some structural damage to the wall behind the spellcaster. He is not miffed at all. Well, not about that. He's miffed that one of your party managed to take his head off. He got better.
Oh.
But still.
I guess it's a nat 1, but don't forget you've got that d12 you can add.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I get to decide that after I roll, right?
Yeah.
You can, but I can tell you adding 12 to a 1 is not going to take you above his armor class.
All right.
Well, the total was 10 because I get a plus 9, so adding a d12 to a 10.
Wait a minute. I thought you said you got a nat 1.
Yeah, I got a nat 1 plus 9.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I'll allow it.
So that's total 20.
That will hit.
All right.
Now, Daldane, does power word stun, is that kind of stun something that you can be slapped out of?
I'm looking that up right now, actually.
I probably should have picked the other one, not in plate armor then, but oh well. Too late. I do 11 damage.
Oh, wait. You don't have to. You don't have to use the...
You don't have to use
the D12. Attack rolls against the stunned creature have advantage.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so go ahead and roll a D20 again and see if that would have hit.
Got a 13 that time.
A 13 would not have been enough. You still would have had to use the D12.
All right,
the D12 makes it a 23.
I hit on a 20, so yeah.
And no, he can't be slapped out of it.
No, he can't be slapped out of it? All right.
No.
Okay, no. So.
Power Word, when Power Word Stun works, it's really good.
Okay, so now it's time for one of the plate wearers to do their thing. Looking over their abilities to see what they can do, decide what they're going to do.
While you're deciding, I want to read this out, just to be clear. A stunned creature is incapacitated, which means it cannot take actions or reactions. It cannot move, and it can speak only faltering. It automatically fails strength and dexterity saving throws, and attack rolls against it have advantage. Just so everybody knows, target the spellcaster.
What kind of damage does the Wall of Blades do?
Slashing.
Okay. And it's a save for half damage type thing?
Yeah, it has to make a dexterity save of 17, and if it makes a save, it takes half damage. By the way, the maximum possible is 6d10.
Okay. Roll your damage, because this plate wear is running right on through.
Oh.
He's taking damage. He made a save, but he's still taking the half damage.
All right, so I typed that before you said he was taking half, so he takes half of 34.
Okay. He's also resistant to slashing damage, but only from non-magical attacks. I think it's safe to say that a wall of blades that were summoned because you prayed really hard to your deity count as magical.
Cool. I'll take it.
But he runs in, and he's going to attack. How many attacks does he get? He gets two different attacks. Who will he aim for first? He's going to go for Gox.
Okay.
Not the brightest opponent.
He picked the biggest kobold of them all in this room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's the tank. He's trying to aggro the boss.
Yeah.
While the DPS take everyone else down.
He can try.
Good luck with that.
That's a 26 on the die.
Oh, armor class 17.
Yep. Yeah. You are going, and you're not raging yet.
No, I haven't had a turn to.
Yes, so you
is
are
he attacking
going.
Gox with both attacks.
I'm sorry,
I haven't rolled for the second attack yet.
Okay, so what am I doing?
You're taking 11 points of damage.
Okay.
He's wielding a great sword, not just a good sword, not a mediocre sword. This is a great sword.
So you actually take actual damage.
Yeah.
He made Gox bleed his own blood. No one makes Gox bleed his own blood.
Gox would like to rage, but he can't yet.
Gox has added raging to his to-do list for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's
right at the top.
Yes. At the top was eat all the bacon, but mm-hmm. In the space above that was actually a margin. You've written rage.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you just look at the list later on, it's going to look like you wanted to angrily eat the bacon.
Rage bacon.
Now that's going to be a death metal song.
Oh my gosh.
Bacon!
Just a second.
Just a second?
Yeah. Zeely, how close to you do we have to be teleported?
You have to be within 10 feet of me.
Within 10 feet. Okay. And Gox, where were you relative to Zeely?
I don't know. We were all real close, and then
you can make a decision within 10 feet.
Well, if she just teleported him, he probably wouldn't have moved too far from her.
Okay. So where was the caster coming from? Or where was the attacker?
Well, it's going to be hard to retroactively say, oh, we were all standing this way. So here's how I'm going to rule it. Zeely was in the center because, one, Zeely, and two, she was the one casting the spell. The other three members of the party were equidistantly spaced around Zili, so that if you connected the lines, it'd be a triangle.
That makes sense to me.
Rolling randomly to see who this warrior would be attacking. The first roll was for Gox, so we're going to assume that Gox was closer to the warrior than Zili.
Okay.
And the second roll to see who it was going after was for Marwise. So we're going to assume that Daldane was on the far end for this particular encounter.
All right, just making sure I don't get an opportunity.
Oh, no, the DM will let you know if you get opportunity attacks.
Okay. Speaking of which, that plate wearer is going after Marwise.
Yes, that plate wearer is going after Marwise, and I did roll a 19.
Okay.
Just enough to hit.
Okay. You're going to take 11 points of damage from a really great sword.
Hang on a second. First of all, if he's going after Marwise, that means, well, Gots can't reach him anymore.
No, they're close enough that he could go after three different kobolds. You're the only one that's too far away.
Oh, okay. I understand. Well, I'm still going to ask, is that all you got? So he does four less than a 19.
Four less than a 19?
Yeah.
Okay. So does a 15 hit?
It does not.
Okay.
Cutting words is fun.
So the great sword comes down and Daldane gives a wisecrack, mocking his martial prowess. And he flinches at that. He won't admit that he flinched. You'll have to show him on tape, and he'll then argue that it was a tactical move where he was fainting. It just so happened that it looks like a flinch. And the sword comes down hard on the ground and slices one of the runes in the teleportation circle.
Oh, and I apologize for taking up so much time. I just want to make sure all the opportunity attacks.
I understand. We're doing theater of the mind, not a planned out map. And there have been complaints when I've done the maps. There have been complaints when I haven't done the maps. But
I'm not complaining. I'm just making sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm simply stating, because we're doing theater of the mind tonight and not a map, it helps to try to get a visual. Like, I have drawn a map while we were talking to make sure that I don't forget this.
Gotcha.
So, that was the warrior's turn. Next up is going to be a particularly stunned spellcaster.
That constitution check at the end of his turn against a 15.
Okay. So, he can speak haltingly, apparently, while stunned. So, he's sort of pointing a finger at... It's either Daldane or Zili or both of you. You're not entirely sure. You may both just assume that he's pointing it at you.
Yeah.
For very valid reasons for both of you.
I was going to say, it's a fair cop.
Yeah. Die! And he is going to make his save. What's his constitution bonus? Oh. Yeah, that's not going to raise that up to 15.
So he is not so much going to make his save.
No, he still makes his save.
Oh, okay.
He makes his save with the power of anger.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Well.
And next up is someone who you don't see right now. I shouldn't have said that. after that is the other armored guy. Or girl. It's hard to tell when they're wearing plate.
As long as they're wearing real plate and not video game plate.
Oh, no. That kind of plate doesn't exist in this universe.
Thankfully.
Yes, people realized very quickly that certain materials, when used to make bikinis, chafes like the dickens.
Technically, that kind of armor would actually kill you, because if it's curved in a way to cover breasts, the soldering would be right down your sternum. So if you get hit, you die.
There are ways.
Or if you fall, you die.
I'm extrapolating from watching actual, like, non-made-for-movie plate being made. Mm-hmm. There are ways to create the plate chest piece so that you're not soldering down the middle, but at the same time, curves on armor a lot of times were meant to help deflect blows. And if you are making it for, shall we say, for show rather than practicality, the way the curves would be put on there, you'd be taking a potentially non-fatal blow and angling it straight towards the heart.
Yeah.
Yep.
So either way, it's just...
Yeah, so mm-hmm. not a good idea. And the plate that you see right. in this particular battle is practical. And the other plate wear strikes the ground, creating a burst of energy that ripples out from it. Each creature it chooses, it's going to choose four of you. Within 30 feet, you're all within 30 feet, must succeed a constitution saving throw.
Wait, is this a spell?
It is a spell.
Okay, I'm going to cast counter spell.
All right. Make your attempt because it's not third level. If I remember correctly, counter spell just works at third level or lower, but this is higher.
Yeah, unless I have to cast counter spell, which I'm not doing this time. 20. And no.
What'd you get? Oh, an 11? Yeah, that's not going to do it. This is a high level spell. So go ahead and make your constitution saving throws. Number you've got to beat?
I got 7 on mine.
I got an 8.
12 for Daldane.
So none of you got over 18?
No, I don't think so.
I got Zeely an 18.
She did.
Okay, so Zeely's going, that all you got? Okay, so this spell is a 1-2 punch. First, the spell name is Destructive Wave. And the first thing that's going to happen is you are going to take 5d6 thunder damage.
Oh, boy.
So that everyone who made the save is going to take 10 points of damage. So that's Zeely. Everyone else is going to take 21.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Does that mean I have to make a concentration check or something to maintain my blade of barriers?
But wait, it gets worse. You're also going to have to take either radiant or necrotic damage. In this case, it's going to be necrotic, and be knocked prone.
Oh, no.
So, how much necrotic?
Everyone who did not make the save is taking 18 necrotic. Everyone who made the save is going to take 9 necrotic. Zeely right now is the only one who isn't knocked prone that's on your side.
Okay. Yeah. This is not going well at all.
And what this basically means from Z's standpoint is everyone got out of the way of their next spell.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you want a silver lining on it.
And I'm guessing the Blade of Barriers disappear because I think concentration saves in 5th edition are just constitution saves.
Kind of, sort of. I think that there is some variation based on how much damage you take. You took a lot of damage.
And I only rolled a 10, so yeah. The barrier's gone.
Barrier's gone. You did manage to do damage to one of them.
It's DC 10. The save. The concentration check.
There's no variation based on how much damage you take?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's always DC 10.
10 or half the damage you take, whichever number is higher.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah, so this number would be higher.
If you take damage from multiple sources, you make a separate saving throw for source damage.
And this is all all that damage was technically from one spell. So that was over 30 points of damage. Almost 40.
All right.
So there's no more blades for now. And next up is Gox.
Okay. I would like to rage. Start there.
This is my surprise face.
Yeah, please.
There is one armored figure that is standing right next to you. And has already hit you once.
Okay. So is my movement getting up because I'm knocked to the floor?
It takes half your movement to get up.
Okay.
So you can continue to go somewhere else, but that would invoke an attack of opportunity from the guy with the
right
sword.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So is he wearing a helmet?
He is.
Okay. Are we on... We're in
You are in Fiddlepunch's tower. You have not seen any sign of Fiddlepunch yet.
Okay, but are there windows? Are we high
Not
up?
In this
are
room.
We underground? There aren't. Okay.
You remember, because you've been in this room before, this room is closer to the ground. It's like second or third floor.
Okay.
It didn't have any bacon in it, so you don't remember 100%, but it's
closest to the ground. Okay, so
the stuff below here is like storage.
I'm going to go after the one that just knocked almost all of us over.
Okay, if you do that, you will invoke an attack of opportunity.
From
the guy with the great sword. There's two armored figures.
Well, who's in front of me? Or are they both in front of me?
The guy with the great sword is in front of you. He didn't do any fancy spell casting. The other plate wearer is the one that cast a spell.
Okay, and I want the one that's in front of me.
Okay.
Yeah, I want the one that's in front of me. So I'm going to go after him, and I'm going to do the cannon kobold.
Please don't kill me.
Yes, really loud. Please don't kill me. And then I'm going to charge and or maybe just strike, hopefully. And that hit something. Hold on. That's a 20.
The goal is to hit something.
Yes, but not the dice. You know? the dice has a 20.
And that 20 hits no matter what. So, yes, please roll twice as many die as you normally would for your damage. And this is your first attack.
Right.
That includes rolling twice as many die for your radiant damage for a bonus.
That's going to be great. Okay, so normally I would roll 1d10, so I'll be rolling 2d10, and it's each plus 4. So
you're only adding the bonus damage once. So whatever number you're adding to the die roll stays the same with the crit.
Okay, so I have rolled 2 d10s. One has a 4, and the other has a 4. And then there's a plus 4.
Okay.
12.
Yeah, and then radiant damage. Do I roll that double as well?
Yes.
Yes, okay. That's 1d6 plus something. They are both 4s as well. I can't explain this at all.
May the 4s be with you.
They sure are. You know?
And as someone who was raised Lutheran, I am compelled to just say, and also with you immediately
and
afterwards.
And also with you.
That's a Catholic thing, too, but I've managed to outgrow that.
Pop quiz.
Yeah.
Well, fun fact. Mm-hmm. When Catholicism switched from the Latin-only service to an English service, they used the Lutheran hymnal that we refer to as the Green Book as the guide. So a lot of the words that are used in the Catholic service, like for the whole service, I'll get confused about some of the stuff, but I'll know all of the words. I'll know when to stand up. I'll know when to sit down. I'll know when to kneel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll get all the tunes wrong.
Right.
But never mind about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I know radiant damage. I don't know. I don't remember how much plus that has or if it has.
If only I had opened your character sheet.
Yeah.
And that's not me being sarcastic. I actually had not.
Oh, okay. The first creature you hit on each of your turns with a weapon attack takes 1d6 plus 7. And then
gone up since you leveled.
Yeah, it has. It has.
All right. I have noted.
So add some more to that.
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't know what the radiant damage. Maybe it's just radiant damage on its own. I don't see it. So.
What do you mean?
Okay, does radiant damage have a plus to it, or is it only whatever appears on the dice? That is what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, it's your Divine Fury. That's your 1d6 plus 7.
That is the one. Okay, that's the one. Okay.
Yeah.
Then we're good, as far as that roll. Okay.
And now you get to hit again.
Yeah, I can do it again. Okay.
He did it before, and he can do it again. Yes, he can do it again.
I've rolled a 7 this time.
That, unfortunately, is not high enough. You do get a bonus to hit, but I don't think
I do.
A
plus
enough.
9.
It's going to take it to a 16, which is also not high enough because you are fighting someone in plate mail.
Okay. Well, it's worth a try.
Yeah. You did an awful lot of damage with the crit, so don't feel bad.
Oh, no, not at all.
I mean, Docs will still feel bad because this guy's head is still squarely on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think he's tried to take off someone's head while they're wearing a helmet, so it will be a challenge.
It's like a bicycle helmet. The helmet is just so you know where the head landed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's Gox's turn. Zeely.
So, how do these people feel about their charisma saves?
Oh, no. I know that voice.
Cautiously optimistic?
All right, so there's... What's the current status of them? I lost track of them.
There's one with a great sword that's kind of in your face that's engaging Gox. The other three are one's to the north, one's to the south, one is to the west, but they're all against the walls.
Oh, I forgot. I'm officially bloodied after that earthquake attack.
Okay.
Well, so I cast Banishment at 6th level.
Wow.
Which means that three of them, and I pick the one that's up in our face, the one that casts destructive way. Wait, the stunned guy unstunned himself with the legendary thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I can make him waste another one at least. So I pick him, and I pick one of the wall people too. They need to make DC 17 charisma saves.
So there's two armored figures that have done damage. There's the stunned guy who's not stunned anymore, and there's another spellcaster.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I pick the two armored guys and the stunned guy who isn't stunned anymore.
All right. So the one that cast the really bad spell, I'll roll for him first. That is a 21.
Hmm.
Stunning not stunned face. I'm going to roll for him. That is a 16.
DC 17.
Okay. He decides to make the save anyway.
Typical.
It's like you're fighting dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's used that on two saves already, so
no.
At least exhausting resources.
No, this was that was the same guy. You're right.
Yeah, because I did the armored dudes and not stunned dude.
And the last of the armored guys, the one that is hanging out with Gox. Trading blows, the way that some people trade Pokemon cards. that is a 14.
That is not going to save.
He decides to save anyway.
You people, I hate you people. All right, fine. Is that how we're going to do it? Is that what we're going to do here? I cast Quickened Wall of Fire.
Okay.
There are still dudes hugging the walls. That's most of them.
Yep, there's only one of them that isn't hugging the wall.
Yeah, so that's kind of going to be a problem with them, because I'm going to cast the Wall of Fire around us and say that the other side of the wall is the bad side.
Not including the Guardian.
Well, the Guardian's in the middle, and none of you has made any effort to walk away from the Guardian, which is interesting to me, but never mind about that.
Well, there were swords in the way.
True. For a brief period of time, there were swords in the way. You're absolutely right. All right, so what do I need to roll for the Wall of Fire?
I'm removing those sorcery points because I quickened it. Let's see. Dex save, DC 17.
Okay, that's a bit different. All right, so armored guy that did lots of damage. He's going to try to make a dex save. I'm totally blanking on the number you already told me.
Like 17.
Told me. 17. Okay, that's a 17 on the die.
Ew.
And he's got a bonus. Spellcaster number one, Stunning McNutt Stunface. He has a name. I have a name in my notes, but you don't know what it is, so he's just going to be Stunning McNutt Stunface. That is a 10, and his dex bonus is plus 9. And the last spellcaster... not as dexterous as his companions. That's an 11. He has no bonus.
Well, he will be taking full damage then. I will be...
Oh, wait. He has advantage on saving throws against spells. That's an 8?
Oh, no.
So, does he choose to make the saving throw?
Funny thing, there's different stats for each of these beings. This particular one doesn't have that particular ability.
Huh. Well, that's interesting to know.
How much damage does he take?
Well, this is going to be 5d8 plus 4. And the ones that failed will... take full damage. That's only one of them. The ones that succeeded will take half damage. I turned that one into a 2, so that's 27. 27 points of fire damage or half of 27 points of fire damage.
Which is 13.
Yes.
Okay, so the spellcaster that couldn't just say, I save anyway, you do twice as much damage to him. He has a fire vulnerability.
So nice. That's 52.
I have noted all of the damage. And you know what? You know what?
You know what? No, what?
Do you
I
know
don't
who?
Know what. Me?
Well, you know
I cast the
why?
Spell. I cast the spell because they were very annoying and none of them wanted to be banished.
I'm trying to figure out if Guardian of Faith is a constitution spell. Like a concentration spell. I don't believe it is.
I can check.
I'm looking right at the spell. It doesn't say concentration on the spell, so I'm assuming...
It's not concentration.
Okay. So that's not going to go away. Okay. I don't have to roll for that. Okay, so that was Zili's turn.
He doesn't have to be the 26.
All right. So it is now time for the Human Torch to have their turn.
I don't know who that is.
The one
it's
that
the
was...
the one I just did 52 points of fire damage.
That's what I think, too.
Oh. He's still alive, just very badly burned. he is... let's see, what's he going to do? Oh, and this is a wall of fire, right?
Yep.
So they take damage at the end of their turn?
When it enters the wall for the first time on a turn, so if they walk through it, or ends its turn out within 10 feet of the outside of the wall.
So... he is going to use his movement to get out of the flames, but now he is within melee range of the party, which is not where he normally likes to be as a caster.
So if he's going to come in through the wall, he's going to take more damage because it's the outside of the wall that's the bad side.
Ooh.
I cast it between them and us.
Oh, yeah, that might not go so well for him. He needs to rethink his strategy. If he stays, he's going to turn to ash. If he runs towards you, he's going to turn to ash.
It's me, Bad Decisions Wizard.
Behind door number one, the ramifications of a bad choice. Behind door number two, a bottomless pit.
Behind door number three... it's Gox.
And we told him that you have bacon. And you don't want to share.
But did Daldane polymorph somebody into a goat?
Not yet.
I not love yet. How often we use the word yet. Okay. He turns into a whirlwind of sand.
Whirlwind of what?
Sand.
Can I shout coward as a free action?
Can you do what?
Shout coward as a free action. Same thing I did last time one of them turned into sand and ran away.
He doesn't run away. He just turns into a whirlwind of sand. As a whirlwind of sand, he is immune to all damage. So he's able to go through the wall of fire and not take any damage from it.
That makes my choices slightly.
And he reforms directly behind the guy with the greatsword.
So get in line for me. Get in line for her.
Save me, save me. Hurt them, hurt them. And he is going to cast Spiritual Weapon because he can.
Oh no. Dueling Blenders.
This Spiritual Weapon is not a blender. It appears to be... shaped like a cow. And it does holy damage.
He's Castatorin Priest.
Loves
Sorry.
Because the thing that he...
Okay, so who's he going to go after? Probably the very scary kobold that burned him.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yep.
That's who I'd go after.
That's a 16 on the die. What's his bonus to hit? Plus 9, so that's 25.
Cannot stop a 25 because I am not that fighter wizard I made a while back. Therefore, I'm going to take that hit.
You've been hit by, you've been struck by a cow spiritual.
Holy cow!
Oh no!
That's the only reason it's cow shaped, by the way. Literally the only reason, so I could say that.
Zili, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Zili?
Eo, just so you know, your mom is in chat and wants to know if you've been cowed.
No.
All right, and that's going to do... He cast it at second level. 1d8 plus spellcasting ability modifier. So, what was that? I believe it was 9. Okay, you take 14 points of damage from the spiritual weapon.
I'm assuming that's not an, any type of elemental damage.
Force damage.
Force damage?
That's what spiritual weapons do.
Wait, shield doesn't do anything about force damage. It does things about magic missile in specific. 14 force damage, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have finally taken damage.
I've taken some damage.
Yeah, he did save for half, but still took damage. At this point, Zili has still done more damage than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Including your opponents.
That's why we keep Zili around.
There's a lot of reasons why we keep Zili around.
I assume I prevented quite a bit of with that carefully crafted power word stun.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, you prevented a lot. And while certain legendary resistances were used, they only have so many they can use of those per day.
True.
So you're whittling them down, provided you can live long enough.
Oh.
Speaking of living long enough, it is Daldane and Marwise's turns.
It really is, isn't it? Oh, so I'm on the floor. Is there anyone within reach? Are either of those enemies?
Unless you tell me that you are moving, at this point, most of you are within range of each other. Daldane, I'm going to say because you're prone, right now the main person you can reach is Zili, but if you use some of your movement, you could get to one of the others.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and get up.
Okay.
And I'll walk over to the plate wearer.
Which one?
The one who's attacking Gox.
Okay.
I need to make a concentration check. But that's right, a constitution save. So I get to add my constitution save bonus, and my constitution save bonus is my friend, and basically I save.
I'm relatively certain that works. Anyway, I walk over to the plate wearer, who is right next to one of the spellcasters, who have conveniently grouped themselves close to the middle of the so that they're within 20 feet of everybody else.
Well, technically speaking, this room is only about 20 feet in diameter.
Yeah, but that means there's opportunity for the interesting ranges. You go diagonal. Anyway, point being...
Are you going to chain lightning them?
I'm going to go ahead and use that Schrodinger's gem.
I think you cut out. Say it again.
Let's see what it sounded like because I'm going to go ahead and use that Schrodinger's gem.
You keep cutting out. It sounds like you said Schrodinger's gem.
That's correct. And I'm going to cast an 8th level chain lightning, which will hit the guy in the plate mail. And the spellcaster, and the other spellcaster, and the other guy in the place, and the guardian spirit. And
the guardian spirit has hit points.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I forgot about the spiritual guardian.
For good measure, the spiritual weapon.
Spiritual weapon can't take any damage, and the guardian of faith doesn't have any hit points either. It just does damage.
Well, I'm still murdering him.
You're valid.
You're all valid. It's just that the things you're attempting to do are not possible.
That's a dexterity saving throw at 15.
So they got to roll 15 or higher?
Yeah, they got to roll 16 or higher because it ties go to the attacker.
This is true.
And I'll go ahead and roll my damage.
All right. Scary spellcasting armor guy. What bonus are they adding to this?
I don't know.
What saving throw is it?
It's a dexterity saving throw.
Dex save. Okay. Most of them are very dexy. But that one is a 14, so he's going to take full damage. Stunny McStunface is going to take half damage. Human Torch is going to take all the damage. He saves everyone else by taking all the damage himself. His final words are, "At least it isn't fire this time." And the other armor guy is going to take half damage. So the only one that takes all the damage is the Human Torch.
I reach up to the ceiling, call down lightning, and channel it through plate mail guy to everybody else. And that's 38 damage to anybody who's taking full damage, and 19 to everybody else.
Okay. The Human Torch is taking lethal damage. How do you want to do this?
The classic cartoon showing his skeleton sound of special effect, and then just the skeleton clattering to the...
Ain't you a stinker?
I am.
All right. You know, I had a name for this character. I had a detailed backstory. I had backup NPCs that sort of went and tied in with the backstory where you'd be able to meet and research. And never mind. So this is what you do to me as a DM. Gonna tear these notes up. Gee, I'm going to bring them back to life in the next session.
If they wanted to live, they shouldn't have fought Daldane and Deez Kobolds.
This is true. This is very, very true.
Can I have something to say before my turn is over. Deucalion feared us. You should run.
By the way, the one you killed was the one that created the spiritual guardian.
Good.
So that goes away too.
I guess you did zap the spiritual guardian.
Actually, indirectly. Wasn't the one I killed also the one who made the spiritual weapon?
Indeed.
Yeah.
So I killed him anyway!
You did!
All right. So, Marwise.
Does anybody need healing?
Me.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm fine.
So, gonna toss out a mass cure wounds. That should be able to hit everyone in the party, so just let me roll that. I should probably also stand up, too. That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I should dismiss the wall of fire. Wait, no, I don't. I shouldn't. There's still people here.
There's still people technically in the wall of fire who haven't had a chance to get out of it yet.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with 23 hit points worth of healing, and I can
stay alive. Oh, 23? Okay.
Yep.
Everyone gets 23?
Yep, everyone in the party. Mask your
whether you
is...
want it or not.
Okay, that's
excellent.
Much
I'm
much
nearly back to full.
Everyone else is getting knocked prone and standing in the bad, and Z's there just looking at the DPS meter going, I'm winning, guys, I'm winning!
Zeely has always done weirdly well with constitution saves, except for that one time with the green dragon. She is the one who, even when she had a negative con modifier, kept standing outside in the cold and succeeding on her saves.
It's true.
And now she has a +9 to con saves.
Thank you, Marwise, for bringing me back out of the bloodied status.
And if I remember correctly, you still have a spiritual weapon that you can use.
It's true.
Yep, I'm trying to decide between that or Divine Word. Divine Word might have been brighter earlier on, but let's try Divine Word out for a tick. So, I get to affect any number of creatures you can see or hear, so I'm going to choose all the baddies I'm aware of. Utter my Divine Word as a bonus action, and they all have to make a Charisma save at 17.
Charisma 17.
Charisma save. Neat.
That is exactly 17 for the armor guy that's still in the fire.
Ties go to the attacker.
Stunny McStunface got a natural 1. Human Torch doesn't get to make a decision.
Not feeling charismatic.
No. Got a very high bonus to charisma, but ones negate all of that. And Mr. Greatsword got a 13. So everybody loses.
All right. So they have effects based on their current. It's not their total. Their current. 50 or fewer, they're deafened for a minute. 40 or fewer, they're deafened and blinded for 10 minutes. 30 or fewer, they're blind, deafened, and stunned for an hour. And if they're under 20, they just die.
Okay. So,
holy cow.
Wow.
That is an incredibly powerful spell versus cannon fodder.
It is my 7th level spell.
All right. None of the remaining 3 are bloodied, and they all have over 50 hit points.
Okay. Well, that's my turn.
Next round.
Yeah, if you waited one more round for Zili to pulverize him just a bit more, that spell possibly would have taken out one or two of them.
Honestly, my hope was to blind the remaining spellcaster. I was hoping he was under 50.
Unfortunately, no. He has not taken the most damage here, actually. But never mind about that.
And he's a spellcaster, and he took 11 and some fire damage. So
mm-hmm.
I was making a guess, and the gamble failed. Happens.
Yep, that's what happens. That's part of the game. All right, so next up is Mr. Greatsword, and he's got 2 attacks, and he is going to take both of those attacks against Zili because she clearly seems to be the biggest threat.
While you're rolling those, can I ask a question of everybody else
mm-hmm.
who has been paying attention? I know Stunning the Stunface has used 2 legendary resistances.
Yep.
Have they used a 3rd?
I don't know.
I don't remember them doing so.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
They've made saves, but they didn't have to dip into that pool to make the save.
Alright. That's what I thought. I was just making sure I hadn't...
Okay, so the rolls that were made during the intermission were a 13 against Zili.
A 13, I don't believe will hit... a 13 is not going to hit.
And a 26.
That will hit.
Okay, take 11 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
Next up is Stunny McStunface.
Is Stunny McStunface outside the Wall of Fire?
Not yet. This is his first turn he gets to do since you cast Wall of Fire.
This is the first turn where he gets to act at all.
Very true. So he is or isn't outside the Wall of Fire?
Currently in the middle of the Wall of Fire, wishing he wasn't.
Oh, he's standing inside it.
That's how you cast it, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
If he wants to come through, he's going to be, that doesn't have a save. If he wants to come through, or if he ends his turn over on that side, he's going to take 5d8 fire damage.
Well, go ahead and roll your damage.
All right. 5d8 plus... No, wait, it's only 1 damage die, not any time I deal fire damage, and I already dealt with the earlier thing. So, I think that's how it works. I forget how my Sorceress Origin thing there were. Yeah, it's when you cast it, so I can't do it twice, but I still have the thing with the 1s. I treat those 1s as 2s, so that's 2. So that's 12 points of fire damage.
Okay. 12 points of fire damage. And this particular character is not as flammable as...
But he is flammable. I've tested it. Just not as flammable.
Not as flammable, but still flammable. And he is a being of habit. There are certain things that he likes to do. So he goes for those first. And one of those things he likes to do is he's going to force Gox to make a... a wisdom saving throw.
This isn't a spell.
This is a spell.
This is a spell. Okay. In that case, I'm going to cast counterspell at I'm not going to be able to cast it high enough to just get it outright if it's what I think it is. So I'm going to cast counterspell normally and make that roll. 20 plus 4. 15, that DC equals 10 plus the spell's level. I'm assuming it's not 5th level or lower.
It is a 5th level spell.
Oh, it's 5th level spell. Wow. In that case, I counterspell it.
That's the second time he's tried to do this and the second time you've counterspelled it.
Oh, wow.
You'd think he'd learn.
He's not happy with you.
That's fair. I'm not happy with him.
As a bonus action, he makes a rude gesture. If he was a bard, that might mean something, but he's not a bard. Okay. Next up, the door to this room opens up. You can't see that this door is opened up, but you hear the door open up. It's not the quietest of doors. Oddly enough, a convenient way for people to enter Fiddlepunch's tower and get past most of his defenses is not a door that's just left to be completely quiet. He doesn't oil those hinges frequently.
Oh, right. I should make another concentration check, I think, because I took damage. That's still going to make it. Carry on. Sorry.
Okay. That's great that that makes it. Because the door opens up and you hear Fiddlepunch go, I'm here. I'm here. Oh, my gosh. What have you done?
Hi, Fiddlepunch.
It's us.
Don't get within 10 feet of it.
Am I missing an eyebrow?
We can't see you. We're still fighting 3 undead things.
No, hold Mr. Savage, you're not.
I'll get you.
I'm thankful that you got that reference, Dutch. Okay. And I still contend that my most favorite GIF of Captain America is when he's fighting a whole bunch of people and the caption is, "Let me go. I need to tell them I got that reference." All right. Now it's Scary Armor Guy's turn.
And Scary Armor Guy, to whom I whispered, Deucalion fears us, run.
Well, the first thing he's going to do is be a good raid member and get out of the fire. So, actually, no, that's not the first thing he's going to do. He just needs to be out of there before he ends his turn. So the first thing he's going to do...
Is someone still within the fire radius? I thought everyone...
We haven't had a full round since you cast that yet.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still working on that. So Scary Armor Guy that's still in the fire.
So we're talking about Earthquake's Plate Armor Guy, not...
Yeah, Earthquake Plate Armor Guy. Not the guy with the greatsword. This guy, actually, what is he armed? He's armed with a longsword. He is going to cast
a spell. It's unfortunate for him because his sword is so long, in fact, that it contacts the ceiling or the floor when he tries to swing it.
That would make it be a really great sword. But then we'd be back at the beginning.
Sorry, I moved to bed this weekend, so I am familiar with physical dimensions and how they interfere with...
Yeah, that makes
in
sense.
In spades, I'm sure. All right, so, Zeely.
Yes?
I feel like this is not asking a whole lot from you.
The need for speed.
Upset with you. because you already have inspiration, so I can't keep giving you more.
I had inspiration the first time you gave me.
I know, right? You're going to have to make a charisma save. I know, you're a charisma-based character. But this is going to have to be a DC 18 charisma save.
Can I make this?
All right, let's see.
Can Mazir appear and make this charisma?
No.
I'm going to spend my inspiration. Come on. Oh, come on. Okay, I got a 6 and a 3, so I had the 15, so I fail.
Okay. Scary Earthquake Armor Guy doesn't need to get out of the fire. There is no more fire. There's no more Zeely.
What?
Did I get banished?
You just got banished. You are on another plane of existence. Everything around you is dark. You see nothing but inky blackness. You stare into the abyss, and nothing stares back at you.
Okay, tell me when it's my turn.
You didn't. Oh, this dude.
Zeely is, not really a fan of this.
No.
Zeely's... Baldane is not really a fan of this. Baldane is
Marowise is also voicing her objection.
Mm-hmm.
And just one moment, Zili's there.
Cox is trying to calculate who to kill first, you know?
One moment, Zili's there, possibly laughing, because she's looking at everyone who is systematically taking additional fire damage. Whether they'd like to or not. Not that anyone would like to.
Except those guys we fought that other time that were healed by it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I forgot about that. I should bring them back sometime. And the next moment, she's just gone, cut off in mid-laugh. And now it's Gox's turn.
I can't wait for it to be Daldane's turn.
Okay, so am I still fighting someone that's like right in front of me? Is that...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got Mr. Greatsword.
Yeah, I'm going to go after him. Because I was already working on that one. You know?
Yeah, you're already right. Trying to cut down this tree.
Let me get this
right
one.
Right, switch to another tree.
Yeah, okay, so I've got a 20 on the dice.
Yeah, that's the second crit of the evening.
Okay, does that mean I roll double? Yes?
Double the dice.
Yes, double the dice. Okay.
It's not only the second crit of the evening, that's Jen's second crit of the evening.
Yeah, it is.
This is also true.
On this specific guy.
Uh-huh. This is also true.
Okay, so I rolled two d10s. One of them is a 10. The other one is a 2, and I think we determined that that was a plus 7. Am I right about that?
Yes. 12 plus 7 is 19.
Okay. So there's that.
And you roll.
Now, hold on. Bonus to... No. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I was looking at different number.
Okay. And then so then the radiant damage is next.
You roll radiant damage, and that's 2d6.
Okay. I got a 3 and a 3. So
plus
I think that's my first. Oh, right.
Four,
is there a
plus 7?
Is that the plus 7? So then what's the... They're both plus 7?
Well, when you're raging, you do more damage also.
Okay.
So there's more than one
bonus.
It's
12. So it's 12 plus 6 plus 7 plus 7. So that's 18, 25, 32.
When you are, and I'm reading this right off of your character sheet, looking at the different numbers.
Okay.
When you are not raging, you do plus 4 for your damage with your battle axe.
Okay.
When you are raging, any attack you do with a strength-based weapon, like, say, a battle axe, you add an additional 3 to the damage. So,
that's where
plus 7
is coming from.
Now, the plus 7 is a coincidence, because not every weapon is going to give you a plus 4.
Right.
So,
okay.
Plus 7 for different reasons.
Okay.
The same.
And the battle axe is a plus 1. Does that do anything?
Yeah, that's built into the plus 4.
Okay.
For damage.
Okay.
Because the javelin isn't plus 1. That's only plus 3.
Okay. So that's my first attack. Is this guy still standing?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to try again.
He is bloodied. this is the time for Marwise to consider casting that spell again, which isn't going to happen, I know.
Okay.
I'm still looking for something to cast Holy Aura, which is what I'd really like to unleash.
I have rolled a 14.
A 14 plus 9
plus
23.
Okay, 23. So I roll...
And that will almost certainly hit.
Okay, so then I roll one...
You have fought things where that wouldn't hit. This is not one of those things.
Okay, so I roll one d10, is that right?
1d10 and add 7.
Okay, it is an 8.
So that's 15.
Mm-hmm.
So you have successfully done 47 damage.
Well, he got me. You know, I'm angry. They did something to Zili.
Yeah.
I'm taking it out on whoever's in front of me, and it was him.
Zili?
Yes?
It's not your turn. Actually, it is
your
turn.
Are you sure?
It is your turn. You are still in the inky blackness.
Okay, I have a question.
I have an answer. Let's see if they match.
What happens if I cast Banishment on myself?
Can you cast Banishment if you are incapacitated?
Oh, it's incapacitating, right? I didn't see that.
So all you can do is sit there and be furious. Or scared. Or both. Or go through a wide range of emotions.
Yeah, actually, she is a little bit scared. She wouldn't admit this, but she failed a charisma save. She, failed a battle of force of personality. This is very disturbing if you're Zili.
I imagine so. You don't know where it's coming from. It doesn't really have a source. You turn your head, you don't see anything. But out of the corner of your eye, no matter which way you're facing, you get the sense that there's some light source in here. It doesn't illuminate anything. Maybe someone cast light on the back of your head just to mess with you. You don't know.
Gox? Gox, you better not be banished in here with me.
And that is unfortunately your turn because you're currently banished. Next up, your star of the initiative order is someone whose name is going to cross out because they are dust on the wind. Actually, they're a pile of bones, canonically, if I remember correctly. Duldane and Marwise.
All right. Marwise, I'm going to ask you to hang back for you.
Will do.
So, the other spellcaster, Daldane's eyes go black.
Oh my gosh. Are you casting Eyebite? Do you have Eyebite?
Oh. You want to explore the blackness.
Are you going to say that he adopted it and you were born in it?
No, I'm just going to cast a fifth level dissonant with.
Wow.
Duldane does a lot of things very well.
Yes, and we love her.
Although I have to say, this dissonant whispers might not kill the other spellcaster. They have a significant amount of hit points left.
They have to make a wisdom saving throw at 15.
You cut out. All I heard was the teen.
They have to make a wisdom saving throw at 15.
Okay. That's a 16 on the die.
Okay, so they take 10 damage and they don't have to flee from me.
Okay. The spellcaster decides to take the fear that is budding inside of them and take all that out of the fear pile and put it in the unbridled rage pile. They are not happy. Marwise, what would you like to do?
All right, well, my spiritual weapon should still be out, even if I didn't use it last turn, so I'm going to swing at Stunny McStunface again. And do I get pack tactics for this?
If I remember correctly, he never had to move. Wait, no, he did have to move. That guy did have to move. So he is closer to you, so yes, you do get pack tactics. He's close enough for that. Thank you for reminding us all that Pack Tactics is not just the name of the show, because no one's been using this.
Yeah, I'm not sure you needed Pack Tactics for that one.
All right, so the higher of the two is 28. I'm assuming that's a hit.
That's gonna hit.
Did I type that wrong, or did Sidekick break again?
Sidekick's breaking again.
Oh.
It's because somebody decided to use a fancy font for you want to explore the blackness.
I have a 3 and a 6 on 2d8. So that's 13.
14. No, 14. Yeah, no, sorry.
So we're going to go with Ellie's rolls?
Yeah, sure. It doesn't look like the other bot's working either.
Okay. Well, it's Monday night. Everyone's staying up late playing Dungeons & Dragons. That's my take on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
And so that's...
on a Monday night.
So, yeah, Stunny McStunface takes that damage that Ellie rolled. And... how many of the baddies are within 10 feet of me?
At this point, two of them. Three if you include the bag of bones.
Could I make a quick, like, 5-foot step without provoking an attack of opportunity to get all three of them within 10 feet?
No. Considering that the first one that moved close to you and hit you was the guy with the greatsword, and he hasn't budged from that spot since then.
And I also misread. It's only 5 feet, so are the two still within 5 feet range?
I'll allow it, yeah.
All right, so I'll cast the cantrip Word of Radiance. They both have to make a constitution saving throw of 17.
Okay. Constitution save for Stunny McStunface. That is a 16.
So that's below the 17 mark.
Thank you for giving verbal filler for me while I try to switch character sheets to look up the other guy. That's a 12. So, yeah, they're both failing.
All right. I'm going to try Sidekick Bork that time. So that's 9 damage to both of them. And that's Radiance damage, if that counts for anything.
Well, they would argue that it counts because it really hurts. You were supposed to show up and die. And no, you wouldn't do that. Younger races have no respect whatsoever. And I have no idea why all of these enemies have turned into Rodney Dangerfield.
Younger races have no respect. No respect, I tell you.
Okay. Next up is the warrior.
Next up is...
Mr. Greatsword.
Ah.
Which I'm a little disturbed by the fact that every time I say Mr. Greatsword, I am aware that it has the same number of syllables as Mr. Sandman.
Mr. Greatsword.
Bring me a treat.
I can tell you right now that he's got one miss and one hit, because one of those rolls was really low and the other one was a 17. So, Gox, you are going to, you are raging, so you are going to take 5 points of damage.
Okay.
Because the damage is rounded down.
Okay.
All right. And next up is the spellcaster, the last remaining spellcaster. He does not have a fifth level spell slot available to him anymore, so he can't try that spell again.
Phew.
Even though Zeely is no longer here to counterspell it.
Indeed.
I'm reading this spell effect to make sure I know what I'm doing is the correct thing according to the spell. You would think the spell, the way it's named, would hit more than one person, but... Oh, no, it's a cantrip. That's why it doesn't hit more than one person. That makes sense. All right. So he is going to cast Ray of Frost. Who's he going to cast it on? Well, that won't work. I rolled for Zeely.
Oh, no.
Nope. Zeely, somewhere in an alternate plane of reality, is immediately hit by a Ray of Frost out of nowhere. That's what the light source was. It was the approaching Ray of Frost.
That's it.
What's that light? It appears to be... Oh, it's an oncoming train. Okay. No, this is going to hit Daldane.
Ellie's not here right now.
Yeah, we've lost her.
Well, that will be a problem then. That will also be a hit, though. Because I'm pretty sure a 23 is going to hit her.
So did her Wi-Fi crash? Or... Oh, hey! There
and
we
Ellie!
Are.
It's me!
It's-a-me! Daldane!
I haven't heard anything for a while. Sorry. Discord crashed pretty hard.
Okay. Well, I have some good news and bad news. And the good news is I can catch you up pretty fast on what you missed. The bad news is you're taking 8 points of damage from a Ray of Frost.
Oh, no. Wait, that's the bad news?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
Because a 23 is going to hit you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And spellcasters on both sides are running low on high-level spells, so we're getting down to cantrips.
Oh, is that how it's going?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay.
So the wall of fire is gone, so Fiddlepunch can enter the room, and he sort of tentatively peeks his head around the side and says, you got it? You good?
Probably.
Yes, can you bring Zeely back from where she went?
Sure, I'll just need to calculate a few things. Do you know how many milliseconds ago, rounded to the nearest 5 milliseconds, she vanished?
No, I do not.
Okay. Do you know how many grams she weighs?
She's not very heavy, I know that.
He starts doing some calculations.
Okay.
That's a full action. All right. Scary armored guy.
Great sword or long sword?
Long sword. Earthquake guy.
Earthquake guy.
Yeah. He holds out a hand, and a fiery orb appears just above his palm.
Oh, no. That's my line.
I
but
suggest
I'm not there.
You use that on your friends.
Sure. He tosses it in the middle of the room.
Oh, no.
Make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, no. Everybody?
Yeah. Everybody!
What's the DC?
18.
I've rolled a 3. Dexterity's plus 2. This is not going to help.
22.
7.
Okay, so 22 is going to make the save, clearly. Zeely doesn't have to roll. Congratulations. on a failed save, you take 35 fire damage and 35 necrotic damage.
Okay, so figure
on
this
a
out.
Failed save?
That's
on
amazing.
A failed save. On a On the successful save, you take half as much.
Okay, does this include Gox's raging and has some fire?
When you're raging, you don't take half damage from fire or necrotic.
Okay, so it's 35 total? No.
Someone who makes their save is going to take 35 total. Someone who doesn't make their save is going to take 70 total.
Wow. Okay.
Which puts me at -1.
Okay. No.
Marwise is down. I also rolled for the other people in the room.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Greatsword guy is down.
Okay.
And the other spellcaster is down.
Okay.
Is that the one who was maintaining concentration?
No. Scary Earthquake armored guy is the one who kept you out of action. He's still maintaining that concentration.
Okay.
But all of your other opponents are gone now. Just this guy is left.
Just this guy. Okay.
So that was his action. Duldane and Gox, are you both still up?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So with that being his action, he then draws his sword and starts to slowly advance towards Gox. Like, technically towards all of you, but he's making a beeline for Gox.
Okay. He was on the other side of the room, right? Or is he the one I was fighting?
Yeah, he was up against the wall up until now.
Yeah, okay.
This is the first time he's moving. And as he's approaching Gox, you can just see like glowing points of red light where his eyes should be through the helmet. Mm-hmm. And he's creepy looking. And the armor comes up on the side, so you're not quite sure you'd be able to do a clean swipe to take the head off.
Yeah.
Feeling disappointed is a free action.
Yep.
And as he draws the sword and approaches menacingly, he just says, "It has been so long since I fought a paladin of Bahamut. I am looking forward to this." And that's his turn.
Wrong class.
In order to be dramatic. All right.
So who's
he might have gotten the class wrong. Yes, this is true. However, Gox is a follower of Bahamut,
right,
who does a lot of damage.
That part's right.
That's radiant.
So they think he's a paladin.
apparently this guy does.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Gox, would you care to reinforce this misconception?
Oh, absolutely. Let's see how I roll. I got a 14 plus, maybe there isn't a plus.
Plus seven.
Plus seven. So
that'd be a 21.
Okay. Do I
Which roll? Will hit.
Okay. Will hit, but I don't get two dice.
You don't get double damage, no.
Okay. Just a D10. All right. So,
and
all right. D10 is a 10 on the dice.
Max damage.
Yeah.
And that's 17 points of damage.
And the radiant damage is a 1.
Okay.
Plus
but that's
something.
A 1 plus 7.
Yeah.
So you're still doing 8 points of damage.
Yep. That's first attack.
Okay.
Unless he's done. I don't know. Did I kill him? If not, I'm going to go for a second attack.
Go ahead and go for a second attack.
Second attack is a 20 on the dice.
Okay.
Nat 20. Nat 20.
So that's...
Oh my god.
That's okay. Jen's and also the third natural 20 of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, so do I get two dice for this one? Because the 20 on the dice.
I'm going to retcon something because I skipped a reaction he can do.
Oh, so okay, go ahead.
Rather than go back and remove damage.
Okay.
Here's how I'm going to play it. You're still going to roll as a hit, but at the last moment, he moves his longsword and stops your battle axe from doing critical damage. So roll your damage. We're going to count this as normal damage. Technically speaking, what I should have done was just told you that last hit wasn't a hit.
Okay. Okay, so I'm rolling a d10?
You still roll your d10, yes.
Okay. It is an 8 plus something. 7?
Plus 7.
Yes.
Okay, that's 15 points of damage.
Okay.
If I was doing this properly, the last hit wouldn't have happened at all, and this hit would have done the radiant damage.
Ah,
numbers
will
mostly add up.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay. Zeely.
Yes?
You feel a hand on your shoulder.
Okay. Hi.
It is a very large hand. It is a very scaly hand.
only here for a minute. I know how long this spell lasts.
Do you turn and look at it?
Yes.
It is covered in scales. They're platinum.
Oh, you know, for a moment I was afraid that somebody else had finally caught up to me.
If they do, you will not be alone. Daldane, is there anything you'd like to do at this moment?
Yes.
Keep in mind that Marwise is currently bleeding out next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, technically not bleeding out, because the wounds are cauterized.
Yeah, I get it. How's our friend with the longsword looking?
They're not bloodied. They might be close to being bloodied, but they're not bloodied.
Okay. He's going to have to make a dexterity save at 15.
He's got a 19.
Okay.
Marwise?
What's that roll you just did, Ellie?
He only takes 24 points of damage.
Is there anything else you want to do?
No, that was a mistake, but...
He's bloodied now, by the way.
All right. I believe that's a success.
That is a success. 11 to 20 are successes, 1 to 10 are failures.
And that's all I can do, because I'm trying not to die.
Trying not to die is a valiant thing. I mean, no one will complain that you spent your turn trying not to die.
I completely forgot that Marwise had gone below zero.
Oh, I should probably also ask, what kind of damage were you doing with that? What spell were you casting?
That was Chain Lightning.
Okay, you cast Chain Lightning again. All right.
That is not the spell I would have cast if I had remembered that Marwise was below zero.
Okay. Next turn is someone who took lethal damage. Anyone who cares to look sees what's left of the body turn into mist and float away in a gaseous form, making a rude gesture with each hand towards the armored guy that's left. And the spellcaster, on his turn, does the exact same thing. Only he's sort of moving his hands around in concentric circles to try to emphasize the rude gesture. it's hard to tell because gaseous form and all that, but you're fairly certain that he was mouthing the words same team really loud.
It's a fair cop.
Yeah. Okay, it is Fiddle Punch's turn. He bursts into the room holding a device that looks kind of like it belongs in a different campaign setting because it's definitely sci-fi-ish. And you hear the stereotypical weapon powering up sound that you often hear when it comes to electronically powered devices that are capable of doing lots of damage. He says, "Okay, I think I've got this. I just need to do an arcana check to see if it works." And that's a 14. It doesn't! The beam shoots out in the middle of the room. There's a scorch mark on the ground. More of the teleportation runes from the circle are just blown away. And there's a small mouse. Zeely, you are not the small mouse, in case you're wondering. I just want to throw that out there to specify you have not been turned into a small mouse. The rest of the party may or may not make the same connection.
I mean, with some of the wizards we've seen in this campaign, it's not outside the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, he was tasked with bringing Zeely back. He used the device, and now you have a small mouse. It wheels its nose in a very cute but also very terrified way.
Cox is convinced it's Zeely.
Yes, because Zeely is always terrified.
Yes.
To be fair, if she were a small mouse. She'd probably be pretty terrified.
There we go. But this is not you. Okay, it is the knight's turn. All right, well, he's already done that. He is going to go after Gox. Some more.
Okay.
He gets to make 3 attacks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of hit points, so this will be interesting.
Yeah. Well, that was his idea. He whittled you down a little bit before closing in for the kill. That is 19.
Armor class 17.
Okay. So you are going to take, and this rounds down, so you're going to take 5 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
Because I've rounded down for you.
Okay, so let me do that.
Plus,
got it.
And you're also going to take 9 points of necrotic damage.
Okay.
You feel this sword pulling the life out of you. That's his first attack.
Oh, no. This is going to take him out.
Second attack is a nat one.
Okay, that's not a problem.
Third attack is a 24.
Armor class still 17.
Okay, you are going to take... I'm just going to add all the damage together. You're going to take...
do it.
How many hit points do you have left?
31.
Okay, this isn't going to kill you then. You are going to take 14 points of damage.
Okay, got it.
And that's his turn.
Wow.
Now it's your turn.
Okay. All right, here we go. Going after him. I've rolled a 5 on that one. It didn't work at all. All right, let me get another dice. That one's a 6.
Okay.
He's apparently drained a lot of the life out of me. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I can do.
Okay. Zili, you're hanging out with someone who may or may not be Bahamut.
Zili is not really sure what she should be saying, but she's grateful.
You get the sense that feeling that is something that this being recognizes. Like, you don't have to say it, it knows. I feel like I cut you off.
No, it's okay. See, we was sort of floundering about, so...
As one would probably do when sent to an alternate dimension that's filled with nothing but blackness. Yeah. And possibly a dragon god. Okay. Next up is Daldane and Marwise.
Daldane, Marwise, and Gox get 12 hit points back.
Oh, wow. 12? Okay.
Yeah. Daldane looks at the plate wearer and says, mediocre.
Does that mean I get to make my action this turn?
It really does.
Well, technically you're both going at the same time, but the DM will allow it.
I've got a plus 5 to initiative. Marwise has a plus 3. So, strictly speaking, I go first.
To be honest, that's always a house rule. According to the rule books, everyone goes at the exact same time if they have the same initiative roll, no matter what their bonuses are. But the DM, while insisting that he could enforce a different policy, is not. Marwise, what would you like to do?
Well, after almost dying, this might be an overreaction, but I'm going to cast Mass Cure Wounds at the highest level I can right now. So, oops, forgot a space there.
In my head canon, Marwise does this as a knee-jerk reaction as soon as she is conscious.
That checks out, yes. So okay. Everyone gets another 37 points of health.
Wow.
Life domain, it's awesome.
Yep.
Any chance you might want to spread the wealth towards the two opponents that were all on the same team? Like... No. Healing won't help them at this point. They're beyond it.
Didn't they just both turn to sand and waft away?
No. Gaseous form.
Okay. Didn't they just both turn to gaseous form and waft away?
Yeah, because their corporeal bodies were destroyed.
Baldane smiles at Marwise. We don't die. It's time to run.
Time to run?
Well, I'm addressing the guy in the plate now.
Oh. All right, and with my bonus action, I'm bringing back Spiritual Weapon and taking a swing at the one baddie that's still alive. And I nat one, so it's just there to intimidate him. Oh, wait, pack tactics.
Mm-hmm.
26.
26 will graze
26
him.
Will probably
Wow.
Hit.
Gotta love advantage, even though this is only doing a life cleric's bonus damage.
He has an ability that would prevent most hits from hitting him, but a 26 is too high for that to do anything.
So he takes 11 damage from my spiritual weapon.
Okay.
And I probably stood up at some point.
I am going to assume. Okay. So
I'm really glad I cast that dopey little 12-point mask cure wound.
Yeah. Every little bit helps. So next up is going to be Fiddle Punch.
Okay. I recalibrated the techno babble. Let's see if this works now. Arcana check. That's another 14.
He shoots it.
The
small mouse has been replaced by a very angry badger.
Oh, no.
Does Scott still think it's sailing?
Yeah. Yeah, she gets pretty angry. It must be Zeely.
I mean, these are actually entirely in-character reactions if Zeely was these animals. Being a mouse would be scary, and if she was then turned into a badger instead, she'd probably be pretty mad that she wasn't a kobold yet.
I'm not setting it at too high a standard. A 15 would be sufficient.
Just get it there.
Two 14s in a row. He's a very smart gnome. He's got a great bonus. It's not enough. Okay. So it is the knight's turn. He's going to make 3 more attacks on Gox. He is of a singular mind about this.
And Gox, you get your hit points back from both our cures, right?
Yep.
Okay.
66 now.
Because it's time for you to start losing them again. I made a mistake. I had you taking half damage from the necrotic damage. I shouldn't have. You should be taking full damage from the necrotic damage. I'm not going to retroactively adjust that. I'm just going to start doing it properly now.
Okay.
So you are going to take 23 points of damage from the first hit.
Wow. That's okay. Let me get that in there.
It's 18 necrotic damage.
Okay. 23. Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay. That's 2 on the die.
Oh. So
that's not going to hit you. Mm-hmm. And that's not a 2 on the die. With the bonus, that takes it to 24.
Okay. Yeah. That's well beyond his armor class.
Okay. So you are going to take an additional 23 points of damage.
Oh my. That's not good.
No. There's a reason why this guy is confident enough on him taking on the whole party and not caring about his compatriots.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
All right. But now it's your turn.
Here we go. That hit something. Let me try again. Okay. That's a 4. So that one missed.
Don't forget you have pack tactics.
Oh, which means I...
You roll twice.
Okay.
And take the higher number.
I roll again. That's another 4.
Okay. I don't know what it is today. We'll get to take the higher of the 2 4s.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be enough. So for all your right, second attack.
Right. Second attack is a 2.
Roll again.
I can try rolling
pack
again.
Tactics. You get to roll 4.
And now it's a 3. Gox is getting really tired. His aim is
all
just
that
a little
necrotic damage.
Yeah, it's just.
He has critted several times this round, so
that's true.
Had to come around eventually.
Yeah, it's making up for it now.
Mm, yeah.
Zeely, the being you're with lets out a long, impossibly volumetric sigh. He tries so hard. And got so far.
But in the end. Doesn't even
he doesn't say that part. In the end, both of you will matter. All right. Daldane,
mm-hmm.
What would you like to do?
He's bloodied, right?
Yes.
He's going to make a wisdom save at 15.
That's exactly 15. Ties go to the attacker.
He takes 25 damage and has to flee from me as far as he can.
Gox, would you like to make an attack of opportunity?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's see. That's an 11 plus 7? Yes?
18.
That's not going to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is it a 7 or is it a 9? There's a 9 here.
It's a Plus it is 9.
Okay.
Your damage is plus 7.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, to hit is so plus 7? Plus hit is 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And, and he manages to parry that. Oh, if he chooses to parry something, he adds 6 to it, to his AC.
Oh.
He needs to be able to see you attacking him with a melee weapon in order to parry.
Okay.
But he is able to parry
so
once per turn.
So the attack of opportunity is not effective.
Unfortunately, no. Your attack of opportunity misses. Marwise, is something you would like to do?
Yeah. First, I'm going to have my spiritual weapon try to make an attack. And does it still get advantage?
Well, he's barreling his way past Fiddle Punch at this point, and Fiddle Punch is an ally of yours. So I'm going to say yes.
Then the higher of the two is 22.
That'll hit.
For a total of 11.
All right, noted.
And then as my main action, I'm going to use Channel Divinity. And, that's gone up since last time I've used it. this one's kind of hard because it's not a roll. It's a literal exact number of hit points I can distribute how I want. So I have to figure out how to divvy up exactly 75 hit points. Most of this is going to Gox.
I was going to say, just pour them into Gox.
if he can use all 75, then that's what I'll do. I was just
have Gox open his mouth, put a funnel in it, and just pour them all right down.
Yeah. Dump the hit points into Gox.
Yeah, if I reasonably think he can use all that, then I'm sending it all his way. I was so just worried there might be 10 or 5 I can split between us.
On a scale of 1 to 140, Gox is feeling a 20 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Then yes, he's getting all 75.
Okay, I'm putting it in.
By the way, the dissonant whisper,
we win.
Oh, and by the way, I don't feel too bad for waiting until now because this is technically all going on at the exact same turn because Daldane and Marwise have the same turn.
Uh-huh.
I made a concentration save for the guy who is maintaining banishment.
And he's not anymore?
A wild Zeely appears.
Oh, all right.
I'm back.
You're back. You're not a mouse or a badger.
Well, the very angry badger is in fact still there.
That's how I know it's not her.
I'm not going to ask about the badger.
It's not really on anyone's side either, except for its own side.
Right, it's a badger.
Any badgers just don't care.
Wait, snake. Snake. It's a snake.
Mushroom. It's an older meme, but dag nabbit, it checks out.
We threw in 2 older memes, actually.
Okay. So I think Daldane and Marwise have used their turns.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. It is now Fiddle Punch's turn. He is much closer to the combat than he has ever wanted to be. He turns and points this magical device at the knight.
Punchy.
And he goes, "Eat Arcana check! That's a 7! The worst I've done so far!"
No!
And it doesn't do anything. There's the sound like it's discharged, but it's more along the lines of it looks like it shot magical confetti that didn't actually stick to anything.
Oh, no.
Imagine, if you will, a defective sparkler.
Aww.
Oh, no.
He just sort of gives a nervous smile towards the knight, who gives one look at Fiddle Punch and does a backhand swing at him with his longsword. By the way, the Bard ability that you use to make him flee, that lasts for one turn, right?
That's Dissonant Whispers. And it must immediately use its reaction, if available, to move as far as its speed allows away from.
Okay. So at this point, Dissonant Whispers has worn off, so he is able to do this stuff. Okay.
Yes.
He does hit Fiddle Punch, who screams and falls backwards out of sight.
Oh, dear.
And then he uses his movement to charge towards Gox and uses 2 remaining attacks.
Okay.
That's a 22.
That'll hit.
Yep. So that's going to be 23 points of damage.
Wow.
And a nat 20.
No.
So this I'm going to have to actually roll the damage for. And that's going to be... you take 8 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
And for the necrotic, yay, that's going to be 8d8 points.
Oh.
Yes, so let me roll that. 44. Aren't you glad you poured all 75 of those points in the guy?
44, wow.
Yes.
Yes.
From a crit. 44 points of necrotic damage.
Okay, let me get that.
And that's his turn. Gox, would you like to return the favor?
Yep, absolutely. Let's see what I can do. That hit something. That one's a 5. Do I reroll for pack tactics or no?
Well, when he charged forward, he ran up to you, and you've been next to Marwise this whole time.
Okay, so I can... second one's an 8. I have missed on my first turn.
Okay.
Second one is a 20.
Fourth 20. Fourth 20 for you specifically. Fifth 20 of the night.
You had that die to sidekick.
I was just about to say, put that die aside from the separates and put it in a glass case that says "in case of emergency."
Yeah, right. it's the thing is, it's been two different die, so I don't know. All right, so I roll 2d10s, right?
Yep, 2d10.
2d10 and 2d6.
Okay, so I have a 1 and a 7 on the d8.
8 plus 7 is 15.
Okay, and then I roll 2d6. And I have a 5 and plus something.
5 and what?
4.
9 plus 7. Is 16. So that's 31 points.
Yep.
I do not have to ask the question that I ask. I just know. So here's what happens. He charges forward, swinging his long sword. He does get a few cuts into you, but as soon as he does this, he is within reach of you. And so you take a swing, and the first swing was a miss, but then you go back the other way, and on the return, you take his head clean off.
That's how you know they're dead.
The angry badger chews on his ankle a bit.
Fine.
I'm going to rush over to Fiddle Punch and see if he's still conscious. And if he's not, I'm going to immediately cast a low-level healing spell for now.
Oh, he needed the low-level healing spell. He has referred to himself as a lover, not a fighter.
Oh.
Yeah, he doesn't do adventuring.
No, that's not his thing.
No.
Punchy, is there anyone else that you need to deal with?
Is he out, or is he...
He's unconscious.
Okay, I have healing potion.
He gets 8 extra points now.
Sorry, I was waiting until Morawise healed him.
Yeah.
So he should be conscious now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say that as the Final Fantasy victory music starts to play, that we have ourselves... been playing for over 3 hours now.
Wow.
Yeah. A while back, I typed in chat, hey, we've been going for 2 hours. Yeah. We want to stop at the end of this, and no one responded.
No, I didn't want to end the combat.
I said, let's keep going, but I said it in chat, not in text.
Yeah, no, I was fine with it. I'm going to have to eat now, and really, so is Gox, but...
Yeah, you all get a long rest after this.
Unfortunately, I don't have any magnificent mansions, but I do still have the tiny hut.
That'll work.
Oh, good memories.
I can make the tiny hut. We can relax there. It doesn't have bacon, but we can set up a fire. I've got rations. We can eat.
You're also in Fiddle Punch's tower. He's got a pantry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, but the
before
point...
Before we even get to that, we're probably going to start searching for...
Magic items.
Yeah.
Particularly that might...
You saved Fiddle Punch from being killed. Not loot all this stuff.
Yeah, see, when you said before you do any of that, you're probably going to want to, and I My response was make sure Fiddle Punch is okay.
Yeah.
Marwise healed him.
Yeah, Fiddle Punch is okay. And didn't we at least kill one of these guys for real? We're going to want to see if...
Yeah. We killed two of them for real. And maybe they had magic items. But
all right.
Also, particularly one that commands Duke Alien.
Oh, yes. That's a fair cop.
Yes.
And any magic item that commands Deucalion probably didn't wander away with the gaseous forms of the ones who escaped.
Also, considering that there are 20 of these people around, or at least there were before you started killing them off, there's a fairly good chance that they wouldn't take one of their linchpin magic items into combat.
That's also a fair cop.
And yes, but how smart are they?
Duke Alien did imply that the magic item was in the... So, it's worth looking, but yeah, if it's not there, then search.
And Daldane's point is, yes, Fiddle Punch has this whole tower, and we just teleported to Fiddle Punch's tower, and there were enemies inside it, and if I cast Liamon's tiny hut, nobody I don't want can come inside the tiny hut.
True.
So, maybe it's best for right this second to cast a tiny hut inside the tower so that we can all rest and recuperate and feel better in the morning.
Fiddle Punch, as he's recovering, just says,
they said they were selling Amway, so I invited them in.
Oh, Fiddle Punch, you didn't Amway. We all know Mary Kay is the only reason. Multi-level marketing association. Now, if you'd like to buy some Mary Kay products, I have some folks that you can talk to. But talk to the...
On this note, though, I think we should really call it a night because it is after midnight.
It's after midnight Eastern time, and as soon as I take my headphones off, I'm going to fall into bed.
All right. Well, just real quick, we've been joined by a bunch of awesome people. Ellie has a social network at elic.xyz. You should join if you like video games or board games or any kind of games because it's awesome. EO's mom's writes books. You can get them at elizabeth-mccoy.com. Jen has a blog and podcast. She's doing Blogist this month, bookofjen.net. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us break even. And until next time, same team.
I know Daldane.
Also same team.
Our right. Daldane.
True.
Still true. All right,
good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.